background for my presentation is that I wanted to expose you all to a topic that I picked up at last NIC conference. There was a presentation on somebody who was doing automatic temperature recordings from a college in Oregon, and it inspired me to go home and learn more about it and research it and what we did with it in San Luis Obispo County. Now, the background for automated temperature monitoring systems have existed for several years. Primarily, their use has been in the food industry. The food industry takes it very seriously when their hamburgers are too warm, as you know, the large food chains and things like that. And previously, this technology has been too expensive unless you're a large hospital or food manufacturer or something like that. But now this technology is very prevalent, and it has various features that small practices can use and county health departments. Real life. How many of you out there, this is very unscientific, have lost refrigerated vaccine or frozen vaccine? Okay. At least 10% of you, I'd say. There's different types of failures. My naivety thought that if a refrigerator or freezer was going to fail, it was going to fail slowly. That's probably incorrect most of the time. In my job for the 4 years, I've had 2 out of 5 units fail. They were commercial units. They failed instantly. There's 2 types of failures that I noticed. One is with a compressor, and one is with a thermostat. How many of you know what happens to a refrigerator when the thermostat fails? It becomes a heater. You have under 1 hour to respond to that kind of failure, and that's what both of mine were. There's power failures. We've had 2 on the central coast of California, and this is just due to big storms. It doesn't snow over there. We don't have tornadoes. Human error. System gets unplugged. Manual recording takes lots of dedication. This is our older system. We still have it actually posted on the refrigerator because it does give us highs and lows, and it's visual for the staff. They're comforted in looking at it. I'm sorry the picture's out of focus. But we can do better because staff do turn off alarms. I do VFC site visits in my county, and I can tell you that, yeah, there are alarms off. Alarms are not set appropriately. Alarm units become unplugged and then don't get reset appropriately. Temperatures are not recorded, and temperatures are not recorded correctly. And when you look at really the time that you are exposed to that alarm and the time in the day, it's pretty much, you know, 30% effective in alerting you. Cost effectiveness. I think we went over this, or Howard demonstrated this really well. Systems can range from a one-time cost of $740. This is the older phone line technology. To about $1,300 for a 2-sensor probe system per site, or I should probably say per unit. Annual fees, if you're into one of these internet-based systems, can range about $10 per site per month. The phone line systems, I think pretty much there's very little, if any, charge monthly after the initial purchase. And we already went over this. The cost of vaccine for a public health department site that averages 80 child and 50 adult shots per month. Ours is $36,000. And that's private pay and a VFC. And, yeah, our insurance policy only covers us up to $10,000. So, I mean, it covers us after a $10,000 loss. So we could have only claimed $2,000 if we wanted to file it. I don't expect you to read this. I just wanted to, review with you. The technology is always evolving. And restaurants were the leaders, and then they worked on how far the signal can be out of the refrigerator and how long the battery can be effective and power consumption and things like that. This is the basic model for how the system works. The sensor is in the refrigerator, and it transmits a signal usually wireless, to the receiver, which is usually outside the refrigerator, and then it goes to a main computer, and then the computer will alarm staff if there is an out-of-range recording. Here's a vendor diagram of the system, and over here, let's see if my pointer works. These are transmitters. These are where the probes are. This is one, you can see the little probe. Never mind. The right side of the diagram is another vendor diagram, and that's showing you where the sensors are, and they're sending signals to the receiver, which is in the middle of the diagram, and it goes to the internet, and then if there's an alarm, it goes to your places of notification. This is what our system looks like. It is a wireless system. That's our probe. We chose glycol solution, and it's transmitting it by radio frequency to the receiver outside the unit. This is it in our unit. As you can see, the size of it compared to the vaccine storage bins. This is the receiver. It is plugged into power, and that red cord is the internet connection. This does not show a battery backup for the receiver, which we are purchasing too, and those are also very affordable. They're like $30, $40 per unit. So if the building was to lose power, at least you would still be recording your temperatures. These are our two babies. This is our freezer in the back and then our refrigerator up front. The receiver is in this small room. It's about 5 feet away. But the receiver is also picking up signals from another refrigerator in the basement. So these receivers will pick up signals through two or three walls and up to about 150 feet. This is a vendor diagram. It's showing you one receiver and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different temperature sensors. These systems, automated systems, help meet the accreditation requirements. Advantages, monitoring. Any number of people can monitor from their computer at work, and a lucky few, I say that a little bit sarcastically because I'm one of those lucky few, can also do it 24 hours. from home, or if they have desktop access to their computer at work, they can monitor it off-site. The immunization coordinator or supervisor can monitor refrigerator freezers of closed clinics. We have 4 clinics, and 2 of them are part-time, so it's really nice to be able to dial in and see what's going on with that unit in a closed office. System monitors when people forget. The frequency of the monitoring is ranged by company, and you can also set it. It's from 30 seconds to 5-minute recordings. Saves time from daily logging temps. And no guessing for a time out of range. Here's a screenshot of our desktop. This is what the staff look at when they're monitoring the system. They just turn it on in the morning, and it's Excel spreadsheet logic. And as you can see on the left of the screen, those are our 2 units in the Grover Beach office, the freezer and the refrigerator, and the current readings. The trend of that temperature, and this trend arrow can be red or blue or no color. And the trend isn't an alarm arrow. It's just showing you, is that refrigerator cooling down or warming up? A quick picture of what happened in the last 24 hours by unit. And as you can see, the freezer, those are the defrost cycles in the freezer. What percent of out of range it was. Status, is the unit actually recording, and are the alerts actually on? On the top of the screen, you'll see the change view button, which is an administrator function. Not all my clinic staff have that ability, but everybody has the ability to do reports and to press the update now button. This is an historical report, very easy to ask the system for it. And you can see it's giving me every 5-minute intervals and what the temperature was. This is for one of our power outages. and we were able to say, okay, how long was that refrigerator warming up? Alarms. They're sent 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can program different alert levels and times. They're sent with office power and internet failures. We had a problem with our internet service. Nobody knows why, but from the West Coast to the East Coast, it's routed through New Mexico or someplace. And the internet service provider, nobody knows who they are, cycles down for about 90 minutes every 2 weeks. The alarm is set for 60 minutes. So we were getting alarms every 2 weeks on all of our units. The first one hit at 4:30 in the morning when we were up and running, and it was comforting to know that I got alarms on all four of my units, and I realized unless there was a bad disaster on the East Coast, that probably had something to do with the internet. We've since changed that, and now our internet alarms doesn't go off until it's out of signal for 2 hours. But not everybody's going to have that problem. I think it's just unique to us in the Central Coast. Supervisor can designate different people, different days and times, with up to 7 points of contact per person. And this is very valuable. This is not a feature that most of the systems have. There's two of us. There's usually four people per office who have alarm settings sent to them. It's me, my director of nursing, and then two staff people. The two staff people only get alarms during normal working hours. And this is all the different places that an alarm can go, and I have about five of these, and so does my boss. This is the administrator page. It's saying on the bottom tab, it says sensor setup. So it's asking you what sensors did you want to set alarms for? And then it says alert setup and location information. And this is how we set up an alert. It's very easy, very intuitive. And so you select the person and their number and when you want an alarm to go to that number, just by putting an X in the box. This is an example of when I get an email that an alarm has happened. This is a report. I asked for a system alerts report, and it can tell you, you know, there is like 3 days of out of range activity. Sometimes it was only, you know, a half a degree, sometimes it was 5 degrees, something like that. And so as an administrator, you can go back into the system and say, well, who's answering which alerts and when and things like that. Most of the systems store data off-site at a company or secure data storage firm or in-house. The data is stored for at least 10 years. Reports can be generated from various parameters, sites, units, dates, frequencies. And you can individualize how often staff should print out reports. It's very, very user-friendly. Here's a sample report that my staff, part of our protocol is to print this out on Monday mornings. So they log in, and this is actually showing you where the, we have power outages, and there's certain flags on this report, but it's the report for February, and they just update it every Monday. They throw out the old one and they put in the new one. Another report, it's calling sensor alert, and we had a high span of 52 degrees for a little bit. This is a trend chart of a freezer over a month. This is a trend chart showing the refrigerator and the freezer. The refrigerator, of course, is at the top and the freezer is at the bottom. It's a complete month picture. Considerations when you're looking at a vendor. Where are they located? Are they on the East Coast, West Coast? Do they have 24 hours, 7 days a week live support if you're not in the same time zone? How readily is the technician, not the sales support staff, available? How simple is the system to adjust for and for staff to view and print reports? How long has the company been in business and are on the forefront of advances? How easy is it to install? And I'm saying, I install these, they're very easy. You just plug them in. Type of probes available, do you prefer glycol or air? Are the written instructions available? What are the reader versus administrator access and functions? Is the transmitter inside or outside the refrigerator freezer? Mine have the transmitter inside the refrigerator. Some have the transmitter outside, and therefore you have a wire going through a refrigerator seal on the door. Are there different alarms levels available? We have two-stage alarms. Do they repeat? What's the memory capability or the backup needed? And talking about commercial refrigerators, from my experience, we bought a nice commercial refrigerator. And what they don't tell you when they buy these units is that it's geared to set for food, which is 33 to 38 degrees. And so the first night we had that thing up and running, it's probably the second day, and I could see, gosh, this is running cold, and I want it warmer. And it wouldn't get warmer. I kept on adjusting and adjusting it. And they said, the thermostats that come in a normal commercial refrigerator are geared for food. And you will stress the unit out if you continually want it to be 40 or 41 degrees. So I go with a white wine thermostat, and I've had pretty good luck with that. Red wine thermostat units are even warmer. But I can get it to 40, 41 without stressing the unit. And when it breaks, this is what you move up to. My staff love this unit. It's like a display case of all their vaccine. We have VFC on top and private on the bottom. They don't have to open it, and they just turn on the light to see. These are some sample vendors for you to look at, and there's lots of different vendors out there. Thank you.
Okay, we've got a couple minutes for questions. If you'd come to the microphone and state your name and affiliation with your question.
Hi, good morning. My name is Amber. I'm from Norfolk, Virginia. I'm a nurse educator. And in our practices, our pediatric practices, we have the min-max thermometers that have the little green vial that sit inside and the digital on the outside. My practices are only open Monday through Friday. And on the weekends, we'll see that the thermometer, the temperature has dipped. We don't know for how long. We don't know what to do at that point. The vaccines are now at the appropriate temperature come Monday morning. So we just don't, we want guidelines, clear-cut guidelines on how to react for minimal dips over the weekends when we're not in service. Of course, Monday through Friday, we check it twice a day, and we're very vigilant about that. But what do we do on weekends? And my other question is, has there been any thought about asking for temperature dots on our vaccines, especially those that are really sensitive to freezing temperatures? That might could help us a little bit with knowing this vaccine is no longer available for use, that kind of issue.
Can you say how low do the dips go on the weekend with your min-max? Can you tell?
A couple degrees. Nothing.
But does it go below 35 or below 32? Or?
It might. It might not. The difference.
Your min-max doesn't tell you?
Yes, but this is multiple situations
right.
That we've had. So some have gone below freezing, some right at that borderline.
Well, I think some of it gets back to what Howard was saying, was rather than having the temperature set at the lower end of the scale, you need to set it at the higher end of the scale so you have more wiggle room. I mean, this 35 degree thing, I think, really came from they thought that would be enough above zero. If you've got a unit that's dipping more than a couple degrees, then I think you need to look into the unit. But if it's just a thing on the weekend because it's not being opened, you probably want your set temperature to be on the higher end so that you're not sort of flirting with that near freezing, which is all very difficult for us. As far as the vaccine vial monitors, they are used extensively overseas, not in the U.S., but they are warm temperature, which isn't our biggest problem. And I think there is some technology that's working towards a cold sensor, but there hasn't been the big push to introduce those in the U.S. at this point, and I think that's something we want to consider. I don't know if anybody wants to add to that. Next question.
Hi, I'm Laurel Wood from Alaska. Debbie, I'm wondering when you implemented your alarm system, if we have multiple places that are on alarm, and we find that people go, well, that means I don't need to look at it anymore. because the alarm is going to go off if there's any kind of a problem. But we still require people to look at it twice a day for a big variety of reasons. I mean, there can be all kinds of things going wrong in the refrigerator. I'm wondering if you had that similar experience, and if so, how did you deal with it?
I'm going to admit it takes some training, you know, for staff to and that's why I have the visual still, so that they can actually visually look at it. But when an alarm goes off, you know, like I said, there's four people at least per site. It's the receptionist, it's the head nurse, it's the, you know, RN and things like that. The systems, when I asked them about this, they said some protocols don't require people to look at it, because the alarms are so reliable. So, you know, it just depends on what you feel comfortable with. But as the manager and things like that, my managers usually love looking at them. They turn them on in the morning and they're there, and they can just flip through each unit, and it's, you know, it's real easy.
We'll take one last question.
My name is Elizabeth. I'm from Chatham County here in Georgia, and I do inventory control. And personally, I've only purchased pharmacy and laboratory refrigerators for my site, because we have a very large inventory. But I recently had someone ask me about refrigerators, and they were looking at the food service industry refrigerators. And I was wondering, and basically all I could tell them was, I don't know anything about them, I don't know what their thermometers are set at, and I don't know if that would be a good refrigerator for vaccines. Are those good refrigerators for vaccines? I mean, do they have the right temperatures? You know, I had no idea what to tell them.
Yeah, that's what we used, is food. We actually have True. We use with True refrigerators, and like I said, it's really critical that when you're getting a commercial unit, if it's not medical, that you ask it for the appropriate type of thermostat and order it that way, or have it installed, you know, before you put vaccine in it. My True, my large True, was $2,500 compared to the medical units, which are $15,000. So it was a very affordable solution for us.